graveyard, any graveyard or any bar or anything like that. Hallelujah. And I'm so proud to be here with you this morning. I'm always nervous to be preaching in front of one of my heroes. And I'm not ashamed nor shy to tell you that Brother Ken Bowman is one of my heroes. Thankful I've got one this morning. And we appreciate him so much and his precious wife, Renee. I'm thankful for him. He cooked us a big old breakfast on Saturday morning. Hallelujah for that. Over there in that cabin, we had a good time killing wasps and a fire and all this. Yeah, lit the morning up. Hallelujah. I enjoyed your song leader this morning. I like to see life in somebody. Praise God, buddy. I'm so glad I know God's amazing grace today. Praise the Lord. I'm happy to be saved. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for that this morning. And if I couldn't find nothing else to be thankful for on a Thanksgiving weekend, honey, I'm not going to hell. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know. I feel like worshiping a little bit this morning. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 3. And hold your place there, and then turn to John chapter 12. Okay. Brother Ken's going to fix me up. Better?
Yes.
All right. John chapter 3. Now hold your place there and turn to John and chapter 12.
Amen.
Isn't it good to have your family with you in church? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to say He is excellent, isn't He? His name is excellent. What a name this morning. I'm glad I know His name today. There was a time in my life where I only used that name in a very horrible manner. But today, thank God today, I know what that name is. Praise the Lord. I want to read you a couple verses this morning and then preach. First of all, John chapter 3, look at verse 14. The Bible says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must," I like that word must right there, "even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever," I like that Bible word, praise God, "that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Can I say, if you're here today and you've never believed on Him for salvation, thank God you can join this family this morning. Hallelujah. I'm glad the message can go out to whosoever. I'm glad when I go to the prisons, I don't have to pick out the murderers from the drug addicts and the drug addicts from the drunks. The message is, whosoever will this morning can come. Hallelujah. But only and only if he be lifted up. Now look at John chapter 12 and verse 32. John chapter 12 and verse 32. The Bible says, "And I," like that, "and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. You can be seated this morning. I like what John chapter 8 says in verse 28. "Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am He." I want to preach this morning, "If I be lifted up." Hallelujah. Now we know that day in the Garden of Gethsemane, on that dark and gruesome night, our eternal destiny hinged on the decision that Jesus would make to drink of that bitter cup of Calvary that was given Him. Now, if there was any other way this morning, hear me and hear me well. If there was any other way, Jesus was interested in it. Now, folks will get cross-eyed on that and say that he was always going to Calvary. He was, but listen to me. I'm just reading what the Bible says. He was interested in it because with sweat drops of blood running down his face, he cried, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." I'm thank God for the next words. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Oh my, this morning, hallelujah, Father in heaven. Not Jack Williams' will, but thine be done. That ought to be the heart cry of everyone under this roof this morning. Let your will be done in our lives. But listen, there was only one way to save mankind from their sins, and it was decided and ordained from the very foundation of the world that as Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Before you and I was ever a thought in the mind and hearts of our parents, there was a God in heaven who was thinking about you. Oh, that ought to make you happy this morning. Oh, listen, He knew everything about you, everything you had ever done, all your secret sins leading up to that very day that you got saved. But He knew beyond all that. Thank God He would save me before I got saved. Lord, that You would take me from all that wickedness and all that mess I was living in. But He loved me beyond that. He knew even after He saved my wretched butt that I'd go on and make a mess of things again. He knew all of that. Yet He still loved me. In fact, the Bible said He so loved us. And it was because of that great love, hear me, that He was willing to drink from that bitter cup. Oh my God loves you this morning, child of Lord. Praise the Lord. Now we know He could have sent 10,000 of His angels and wiped out everything moving on that day. But He didn't. You say, why didn't He, preacher? Well, I believe the songwriter had it just pinned down perfect when he said, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Hallelujah. I present to you this morning that it wasn't three rusty nails that held Jesus to that rugged tree. It was His great love for you and I that held Him there. I believe with all my heart, He looked down through the centuries and down through the ages into that little jail cell in Cleveland, Ohio. Oh my! And seeing that little boy in that cell that was worth nothing, that the world had proclaimed, throw him in prison and throw away the key. But yet, glory to God, there was someone in heaven who was looking down into that cell saying, I'll die for him. I love him. He's worth it to me if he ain't worth it to you. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know who you are in here today, but honey, listen, you was in the same wretched state I was in. Praise God. But yet He loved you enough to stay on that cross. Amen. Now listen, that day at Calvary was a one-time event. Thank God Christ would never have to die again. But hear me and hear me well today, Liberty Baptist Church. The command and the necessity to lift Jesus up is as real and important today as it was 2,000 years ago. You say, why, preacher? Here's why. Because nothing has changed. Jesus is still the only way. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. For I am the Lord and I change not. He hadn't carved out another road to heaven. Hallelujah. He is still the only way. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And if anyone's going to get to heaven in here this morning, if anyone's going to get delivered from their sin, if anyone's going to get put back together, it will be through the avenue of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. He still has to be lifted up. Can I say to you today, that's why you got saved. Because somebody lifted Him up before you. And can I say that's the only reason God saved you? It's so that you, through your testimony, would take Jesus and lift Him up for somebody else. I'm so glad when that little young Mexican came into that cell that day, he didn't lift up his past. He didn't lift up his drug dealings. He didn't lift up his pride. But he took Jesus and set him in front of me and said, "For God so loved the world." He put Jesus in front of my face. Thank God. What's the Great Commission this morning? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Every country, preach the gospel. Every city, preach the gospel. Every town, every home, every heart. Listen, kids in the schoolhouse, lift him up. In the courthouse, lift him up. But especially right here in the church house, we've got to lift up Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus hadn't been lifted up here in this church house. It's always obvious that he's the central point in this place. But I'm talking about personally in your own heart this morning. He needs to be lifted up. Now, I noticed as I read those few texts this morning that nowhere did I find that Elijah is to be lifted up. Nowhere am I to find that Michael the archangel was to be lifted up. And bless God, even Joseph, more like Jesus than any other person in our Bible. I didn't find anywhere where Joseph was to be lifted up. Can I say to you this morning, hey, if they're not worthy to be lifted up, if Moses are not worthy and Joshua is not worthy to be lifted up, then you and I have no business here today trying to lift ourselves up. It ain't going to help nobody. Trying to go into them dark prisons with a big how-to book on how to do better and put my life in front of them. It don't do nothing. But I realize when I take the Word of God and lift it up in the front of their faces, something big begins to take place in their heart. Thank God. I wonder what would happen this morning if you'd lift him up. Amen. I wonder what mighty works God could do in Bowdoin, Georgia, if you would leave here today and lift him up. He's so worthy of it. Oh, I came here this morning to lift up Jesus for just a few moments. And I want to point out just a couple of ways in which we should and can lift him up today. First of all, I want to point out that we can lift him up and should lift him up in our worship. In our worship. Oh, don't you just thank God to be able to come into a presence of Jesus this morning and worship him. I'm so tired of dry church. I'm so tired of just religion. I'm so tired of that mess that's being scattered across America today. Hey, I like worship. I like it when I come in and somebody gets a tear in their eye, honey, and they can't even start singing without weeping. They're worshiping Jesus in here today. I like that. Well, I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but last night I seen some folks worshiping the Alabama football team. Ooh, I said something that ought to be cursed, isn't it? I seen some folks, some of my friends, worshiping the Ohio State football team. Now, I'm telling you, I like football. I love it. I absolutely love it. But I've seen them in that stadium by the thousands, honey, just ringing out in just glorious happiness about their football team. But can I present something to you today? That football team has never died for you. That football team cannot keep you out of hell, honey. That football team cannot keep your kids off of drugs and keep them out of the liquor joints. It cannot do nothing. But yet they worship it like it is the end of the world. If they don't win, glory to God, fold it up. Let's just all die right here where we sit. Oh, I'm telling you this morning. Hey, worshiping Jesus, lifting him up in the presence of our hearts and in our homes this morning. Now, I know when I find something about worship, I must go to the principle of worship. You say, what is that? Well, I learned a long time ago that there is a principle in the Bible called the first mentioned principle. And if we're going to know anything about worship, we must go back to where worship is first mentioned. And when we do, we travel back to a man in Genesis chapter 22 named Abraham. Abraham gets a call from God one day. And he says, I want you to take that boy of yours, the one in whom thou lovest more than anything in this world. Oh, what do you love more than anything in this world this morning? I promise you God wants to kill it right now. He said, take that boy whom you lovest up to a mountain that I'll show thee and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. Now that's where we find worship. You say, well, that's crazy, preacher. Well, I hate to tell you, that's where I find it. And he is obedient to packing up his boy and heading off into that mountain. I like what the Bible says in verse 7 of Genesis 22. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now, Abraham knows he's got to take his son and cut him, and I believe what is 7 pieces. He's got to take him and slice him into 7 pieces. First, he has to cut his throat and let his blood drain into a basin over there. Now, can you imagine? This is where worship starts. And then he takes those 7 body parts over to a basin and washes them, and then takes them to the altar, puts them on the altar, and will set them on fire, and that smell will be a sweet savor in the nostrils of God. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning. If I'm Abraham, I'm not worshiping at the point he tells me what I'm going to have to do. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews, he had enough faith that if God killed his son, that he believed he would resurrect him. I believe that today, but I don't feel good if God tells me I've got to butcher one of my kids. You understand that today? I'm talking about worship. Hear me this morning. I don't believe he's worshiping when he saddles up the donkeys and starts heading toward the mountain. I don't believe he's worshiping. I don't believe he's worshiping as he's going up that hill with all the wood and the fire and all that. I don't believe he's worshiping when he lays his boy on the altar. I don't believe he's worshiping when he draws his knife back and gets ready to plunge it into his son. Oh, but hear me this morning. Right at the very moment in which he is getting ready to crucify his own boy, God cries out, hold it! Hold on just a minute! And the Bible says Abraham lifted up his eyes and behold a ram caught in the thicket. Oh, can I say to you? I think now he's worshiping. I think now he's worshiping. Because God says, I have provided myself a lamb for this boy. Get him off the altar. He don't have to die. I've got someone to take his place today. Oh, can I say to you, I believe they both started worshiping. Why? Because they saw the lamb that was sacrificed for their soul. Oh, can I say to you, down in the basement of that jail cell, at 27 years old, I had never worshipped Jesus. I had never said amen standing on the corner selling crack. I never said praise God in one of those bars. I never lifted up my hands and said hallelujah in those jail cells. But that's only because I hadn't seen the Lamb yet. Oh, but when that Mexican brother Ken brought Jesus in that cell to me and he lifted him up before me, oh my, he said, you don't have to die like this. Jesus has presented himself a lamb to die in your place. Oh, can I say to you this morning, if your worship doesn't start with that lamb at Calvary, then honey, you cannot worship. And it's no wonder some of us can't lift our hands up and say amen. We've never seen the Lamb this morning. The Lamb has not been presented, hallelujah, to your heart the way it needs to be. Oh, but I can say this. When we see that Alabama football team win another game, woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God! When Ohio State wins the championship, glory to God! Here's where my biggest fear is as I go into prisons and halfway houses and all that. A lot of the folks I see in these places aren't living in the streets. They come off of Baptist pews and they come off of church pews. And here's what I've been seeing, and listen to me this morning. I'm talking about worship. They have seen their mom and dad come to church Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And they say they've got this Jesus that fills them with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And yes, they see him here one way. But honey, then they go home and they're a totally different animal. They see them say they worship Jesus here, Brother Tim. Then they go home and they worship everything but Jesus. I'm going to say that's what's hindering worship here is because of what we're worshiping out there. Our children need to see us worship Him this morning. I want you teenagers to know, hallelujah, He's worth more than the beer bottle. Hey, they get in college after watching us all serve. I got joy unspeakable and full of glory, bless God. And then they go to the local bar and the local college and they see all them drunken folks looking like they have the world in their hands. Boy, they're just so happy. And we know it's all a facade. It's all leading straight to hell. Oh, but in their hearts they're saying, oh, they got more than what my mom and dad had. Why do I need Jesus? I've got a bag of weed. Why do I need Jesus? I've got a bottle of Percocet. Why do I need Jesus? I've got a jug of black velvet, Jack Daniels, and all that. Oh, hear me this morning. Oh, I want my family to know when I got Jesus, hallelujah, I got more than a bag of weed. Amen. Oh, yes, I'm happy this morning that I'm not in prison, but that's not why I'm worshiping today. There's plenty of people that have been let out of jail yesterday. Oh, but they've not seen the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. Praise God. Oh, you need to see yourself as that sinner laying on the altar, understanding this, that death is headed right toward your way. And it was, Brother Ken, it had me. I was already in hell. I should have been there 1,000 times. But aren't you glad? The thing that makes me so excited this morning is to know that God's dear Son would have picked me off of that and laid me off over in safety and put His own Son on that altar for me, for even someone like me. Oh, I want you to know in here today, He means more to me than anything in this world because I meant more to Him than anything in this world. Oh, where's your worship at today? Oh, yeah. If I be lifted up, if I be lifted up in our worship today, praise God. Let me just go on and say this. Not only in His worship can we lift Him up, but in our works. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, listen. Do something good for somebody and let them see Jesus in your heart. Oh, some of the meanest people I've ever seen is sitting on a church pew. Oh, I don't mean to say that, but it's the truth. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I like what my Uncle Dana said. The reason He gave you the Holy Ghost is because it works. The reason He gave you joy is because it works. The reason He gave you peace is because it works. The reason He stuck love in you is because it works. This world is looking at you and they need something. They want to get off the dope. They want to get out of the bars. They're dying to find something. And they're looking right at you, the one who they call Christian, and they see no good works. I'm saying to you this morning, we can lift Him up in our works. But lastly, I want to say this. We need to lift Him up in our ways this morning. Is not Jesus worthy of lifting up this morning? Is Jesus not worthy of placing Him before your family today? Is He not worthy to take to the job? Do you know that God's still able this morning? Did you know that He hasn't shrunk one bit since the beginning of time? And I truly believe the reason the altars isn't full on a weekly basis with folks praying for their children and grandmas and grandpas praying for their grandchildren out there is because some reason in this day and hour we have thought that our God has shrunk down with a great incapability. Oh, can I say, He is more than able today. Amen. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think today. We've got to lift Him up in our ways. The Bible says this in James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Oh, I want to say this to you this morning. We cannot be double-minded Christians. Do you understand this? What I'm saying to you is this. We cannot be one way here and one way out there. We are not lifting Him up that way. And I believe the scariest thing I can present to you this morning is this. If I was to grab you by the hand, I may do it. I don't know. You better get nervous. If I was to get you by the hand and walk you up to this platform this morning and say, stand there for just a second, and then get your children by the hands and bring them up here with the pastor and everybody just here, and I have to say to them children, boys and girls, Jesus is watching you this morning, and He's going to know if you lie or not. I want you to turn and tell this congregation, is your mother and your father different at home than they are here? Oh my goodness, some of our hearts would sink down to our feet this morning. People are watching you. Your children are watching you. Listen to me. The results of kids leaving church after they turn 18 are tremendous. They're leaving the church and they're never coming back. You say that's their own fault. Well, it might be, but we've got a great influence over them doing it. We've got to be the same here as we are at home. Hallelujah. We cannot lift Him up with a beer bottle in our hand. We can't lift Him up with a pill bottle in our hand. We can't lift Him up with a joint in our hand. I'm telling you, we leave here and we cuss like we're sailors at home. But yet we come in here on Sunday morning just to see, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. Jesus, as soon as we get in the car, honey, you get down the road. Don't you know how to drive? You're just crazy, woman. Get over there somewhere. And the kids are scratching their heads saying, Dad, you just was praising God a minute ago. Now listen to me. They're 3, 4, 5, 6. The more that gets implemented into their heart, honey, the more they're going to say, this is fake. Mom and Dad ain't got nothing more than religion. They're making fun of the Muslims. They ain't got nothing more than they got. They're making fun of Jehovah's Witnesses. They ain't got, at least they'll knock on the door. Listen, I don't want you to think I've got a bad spirit this morning. I'm telling you this morning, I am blessed beyond all measure. And there are times in my life where I have lifted up everything except Jesus. And I'm ashamed to tell you that this morning. Oh, but that don't mean we can't start over right here and right now. America needs some fathers who will get off of their rump, get off the pew of the Baptist church and lift Him up. The world needs some mothers to get off of this whining stuff that they're on and just lift Him up. The world needs some teenagers that'll get on fire for God and walk in the church and the school and say, I don't give a rip. Who says I can't pray? Hallelujah. I'm praying to God this morning. Hallelujah. If you do that, you will see some lives changed. You say, how's my family going to get put back together? Honey, lift Him up. How's my children going to get saved? Lift Him up. He's the only way today. How's my community going to get off drugs? Lift Him up. Hallelujah. How's America going to straighten out? Oh, listen to me. It ain't going to be through some great counseling session. But us Christians, they're not lifting Him up. Can I say that to you? It is up to you and I. What are we doing? What are we doing in this hour? The drunk is not going to present Christ to nobody. The heroin addict will not present Christ to nobody. But it's a shame that we say we got everything that heaven had to offer. And yet we sit here like, I'm going to tell you this morning, I come to worship the King of Kings. I'm a son of the living God this morning. Brother Ken, if you don't mind, if I just had liberty to have my two boys come and sing a song this morning in closing, let's all just stand this morning. Let's all stand this morning. Oh, listen.